So, hey, Anita.
Hey, Brett.
What's up?
I'm here in Bangkok with you.
Where are you in Bangkok?
I'm at the presidential suite at the Okura Prestige Hotel.
Nice, nice,
but
nice.
I'm not staying here.
And what are you doing in Bangkok?
Because of you.
Because of me.
Yeah, you invited me over.
All right. We're going to talk some more about that.
You're listening to the TD Podcast. Discussion, analysis, and actionable insights from the travel industry's top executives.
And I'm happy to welcome today Miss Anita Chan. She is the CEO of Compass Edge. Anita, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brett.
So, Anita, let's start off by introducing Compass Edge to the listeners from around the world.
Sure. Compass Edge is a company founded in 2008. Originally to provide online solutions to hotels, which is like internet booking engine, channel manager, GDS connectivity, and such. And with all the competitive landscape changing, in about 2014, while, you know, the meta search of the world, everyone, the OTAs are taking major market share from independent hotels especially, we have looked into what we can do and transform the company. So I was a silent investor of the company since 2008, but not actively involved with the operations of the company until then, because at that point of time, the business is not going well. So 2014, we look at the macro environment and look at, say, okay, we know the booking volume is going down, for independent hotels especially, or even for major hotels. But what is going up? What is up and rising? What are the opportunity? So we look into, you know, the statistics and everything. Chinese tourism, you know, Chinese outbound tourists, FIT travel is on the rise.
And what year was this?
2014.
Yeah, I mean, 2014 is pretty early in that trend. I mean, today, everyone's talking about China market. There's a million China experts. But 2014, you're kind of at the front of that trend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2014, we see the kind of the hockey stick that, you know, more and more people are traveling on their own, the Chinese tourism. And we also look at our company capability, you know, like our experience. I personally have experience working for a digital marketing agency. We have, you know, partners in China, a good China team. My people in Hong Kong can actually speak fluent Mandarin, can communicate, and in English as well. So we understand the Chinese culture. We also understand the hotels that we work with. So we look into this and say, okay, this is something that we can transform the company from something, you know, the trends going down to what is hot and what hotels need and what we can help hotel with. So we come up with this, what we call Go China, which is a China-ready strategy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, for hotels, even from 2014.
Yeah, that's actually two great front, I don't know, front end of the trend, but in 2008, booking engine, GDS connectivity sounds really hot.
Exactly.
But in 2014, that sounds really boring.
Yeah.
But getting me access in 2014 to the kind of Chinese consumer, you're really at the front of the trend. And now a lot of people are jumping in on that. So let's talk about the China market. I mean, intuitively, when I think about it, a lot of the independent hoteliers around the world, but particularly in the region where we are now, are Western leaders,
yes,
right? They tend to be, a lot of Europeans are leading luxury hotels here.
Yep.
And I would guess China is really a black box for them in terms of how do they generate demand? How do they reach customers to book directly? So what's your experience in engaging them, and what do they think? What are their thoughts around the China market?
You know, the interesting thing is China is so different. And not too many people or hoteliers know about that. Because when we first started and tell hoteliers that their website, you know, like the Google is banned in China, or Facebook, Twitter, everything is blocked in China, many of them will say, oh yes, but they do not really understand what means by block and to what extent that they cannot be seen in China unless they really work in China before or been to China to experience that. So a lot of times they would believe that they know what to do, you know, copying what they do well in the Western world to the China market. But unfortunately, that doesn't work. And from 2014, when we first started to come up, you know, with this kind of a China-ready strategy, up until today, things are changing so rapidly already. You know, like if you talk about KOL, key opinion leaders, a couple years back, people say, you know, what are you talking about? Internet celebrities. Oh, you know, I don't want that. And now it becomes the number one profession that young Chinese wants to be,
right,
to make money. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, things are changing very rapidly. And at that time, WeChat, I would say, still a copycat of WhatsApp, you know, like messaging and everything. But in the couple years, WeChat is something totally different. Is, you know, its own ecosystem in the China world, in the Chinese world. So there are things, the difficulty or the challenges is a lot of overseas hotels, general managers or management do not quite understand the complexity and the difference in the China market. And that is where I think, you know, we fit in. And that is through education, through, you know, what we do and help them to put on the right track, so to speak.
So talk to me about how the conversation goes with a five-star hotel GM or luxury hotel GM when you talk to them about trying to go and build some direct traffic from the China market. Are they approaching you? Are you having to approach them?
Both. Yeah, both. You know, we have hotels approaching us looking for such a solution. And of course, you know, my sales team will go and approach hotels. And it's both ways.
There's a stereotype, or I don't know if stereotype's the right word, but this idea, concept that a lot of luxury hoteliers don't want the Chinese traveler. And that, oh, these are tour groups. They don't spend any money.
Exactly.
They don't behave themselves well inside the property. So we just don't want them. Is that an outdated view?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what we want to point out. The bus tour type of tourism is kind of gone. Especially for Thailand, more and more people are comfortable coming over free and easy way on their own. And the stereotype, as you mentioned, you know, definitely I'm not saying, oh, Chinese is great. You know, like, honestly, there are Chinese who's shouting, you know, and noisy or not behaving. You know, I just read, you know, a lot of articles on that, and I'm not defending them, okay? There are always different type of tourists in each different market.
Right.
But for the luxury five-star market, you know, since my work, you know, since my work with, even when I was working for small luxury hotel, the hotel's telling me that they are no different. Okay, you know, if you really find that niche, if you really find the good target Chinese that you want to target, they are no difference from European. They are no difference from any other nationality.
Yeah, sure. Well, first, I'm really glad that there are a lot of different types of Chinese traveling. And now they're kind of taking the loud traveler spotlight award away from Americans. As an American, I'm always embarrassed that, you know, it's the loud Americans, but now it's more common to hear the loud Chinese.
Right.
So I'm really happy that they've started traveling more, and you hear less and less, you know, the loud Americans, and you hear a lot more about the loud Chinese. And I do think a lot of it's about what you said. There's just so many of them traveling, and there are some that are loud, but there are some that are not. Right. This is true with any large population group that's going abroad. So that's really interesting. And so the luxury hoteliers, they recognize already this segment that is a group they want, or are there, do you still come across luxury hotels that are not interested in the China market?
Yeah, absolutely. There will be general managers who say, oh, I have enough market share from the China market. You know, I do not need more. But I was speaking with a lot of our hotels, and the interesting observation or the interesting comment that they made is the best use of the China market is during low season. So I think that is a great observation, and saying, okay, during the high season, you may not want every Chinese to come. But when you need business, you know, Chinese will come. Even when it rains in Phuket, they go. Hmm. Okay, low season, they go. And that is a perfect market to fit in when you need demand, you know, when you need, you know, the customer to be in the hotel.
I can give testimony. I recall being on a beach in PP Island. I think I took a small private boat tour because I wanted it to be something really special and exclusive.
Right.
Just me and a small group of friends. And we took the private boat over to the special beach. And it was literally swamped with large boats of Chinese tourists. Uh-huh. And it was just a rainy, rainy season, cloudy day.
Yeah.
But there literally were thousands and thousands of Chinese there,
right,
also wanting to experience the same thing that I did.
Yeah.
So I was amazed that even during low season, the numbers that the market can deliver.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk a little bit more into that. That trend is also changing a little bit too, because the savvy Chinese traveler, now they do not want to go to places that other Chinese have been to. So that's the new trend, that they want to show people they have been to places very exotic, and that's the experience quite unique to themselves. So, you know, if 1,000 people has been to that, they will think, oh, that's not cool. So the younger generation, the more luxury travelers, is saying, you know, I do not want to go there anymore. Okay, I need to find another island. Okay, that no one, not Brett, been to, you know, and go there.
Yep. The first podcast I did with Graham Brown. I don't know if you're familiar with Graham Brown, but he was talking about this trend and how we laugh at the Chinese tour groups with the flags that, you know, have historically been walking around, but that there's historical precedent for this, that the Europeans were doing the same thing in the 70s. And I'm sure the Americans going to Mexico perhaps were also doing a lot of group package tours.
Yeah.
And it's just a part of the market's maturing. But the China market has gone through that phase from, you know, managed group tour to I'm seeking out exotic places to travel to by myself really fast.
I mean,
at an exponential rate compared to what you saw in Europe or North America.
And also because of technology. You know, like before, maybe language is a barrier. Now, with the app on the hand, they can go anywhere without any problem.
Right. So, it's both the navigation, mapping, plus translation abilities.
Yeah.
I don't know how we survived as travelers. I mean, the travel experience has been changed so dramatically by mapping and translation. Yeah. So what are some of the technologies that you think are key for hotels to be leveraging, or some of the channels key for hotels to be leveraging to reach the Chinese luxury traveler?
Yeah, and I'm going to speak more about that tomorrow.
Ah, yeah. You're speaking tomorrow. Where are you speaking?
I'm speaking at the GM Executive Summit that you organize.
Ah, this is the TD,
TD
Executive Summit.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard about this summit, we're hosting an event for 55-star hotel GMs, six startup executives, and they're each going to be talking about, you know, their particular area of expertise, trying to educate the GMs to be kind of 101 experts in their category in 40 minutes or less, as well as give some real actionable insights. And the idea with these events, Anita, we were talking earlier, is around the concept that conferences today are essentially broken. I mean, paying $1,000 to show up and listen to six corporate executives sit in a panel and have a relatively uninforming chat with each other just isn't high value. Or listening to a C-level give a presentation that, you know, reveals no new information. No one expects to get new insights from those events. And they really seem like an artifact from the 1990s, I mean, pre-internet type events. I mean, we need to shift gears and make events, you know, much more engaging, much more focused, and deliver a lot more value.
Yep.
And that's what we're trying to do with this GM Executive Summit. Only inviting 5-star hotel GMs, and then bringing in top speakers who are pushing the industry forward in really important areas. And that's where we see you and Compass Edge as one of the companies helping hotels capture this trend of the rising China market.
Yep, thanks, Brett.
And the emerging kind of Chinese, you know, luxury traveler.
Right.
So that's why I'm really excited to have you here today speaking
Thank
to
you.
The listeners, as well as excited to have you at the event tomorrow and look forward to the GMs benefiting from you.
Yep.
So let's get back to the question.
Yep.
my moment of self-promotion about my event I'm really excited about. But let's talk about some of the key channels or key technologies that hotels should be leveraging that you might be talking about tomorrow?
Yeah. You know, what I want to talk about is everyone has to unlearn what they know. Even they are GM or very savvy in digital marketing or in any arena, to have really an open mind about the China market. For example, one of the main thing that I come across all the time is, how are you going to position me on search engine? Okay. So because we know from the, in the Western world, if you want the first step, you know, to get into any digital marketing is Google search, right? You know, typical Google, you know, how are you going to do SEO for me? You know, what is the PPC and everything? But in China, actually the inspiration and planning stage all begins with social media. And the social media is actually converging with e-commerce in China. So the things are quite different in China. So if you ask me what technology and everything is, cannot be separate into different parts. Because definitely the social media platform, like WeChat, like Weibo, is a very important part in the earlier stage. And it can evolve with e-commerce. And then, of course, you know, we have household brand, you know, OTAs, Ctrip, that is in China. That, you know, I will share in one of my slides that 91% of Chinese will shop on OTA site. Not just on Ctrip, but OTAs overall. And that is highest in the world, 91%. That means basically everyone.
Everybody.
Yeah. So it's very household. They just go there to shop. So the way of them is very different. And also we heard the term about O2O marketing, online to offline. And that is something coming from China as well. Because I'm not going to advertise for Ctrip, but if you think Ctrip is an online OTA, you know, online travel agency, actually they have a lot of offline offices in China. So a lot of companies are actually not just online, it's online. So from online to offline, the O2O marketing is important. So everything is so integrated and everything is one piece of the puzzle that you need to put together in order to have a presence in China. So that is the complexity, just to give you a taste of it.
Okay, great. I remember listening to an earnings call with Fan Min, who was a previous CEO of Ctrip, and the analysts were pushing him on his percentage of online versus offline transactions and asking, are you really an online travel agency? Because it seems like you have, you know, a lot of offline transactions. When are they going to get online? And his answer was, I don't care if you call us an online travel agency or not, we're just a travel company. And we're going to do whatever it takes to kind of deliver the best service. And he wasn't concerned about those ratios or whether or not he really was an OTA or an offline.
And I think that comes from the Chinese culture, that they do not, you know, like trust is a big issue, you know, in Chinese culture. If you catch on the latest news, actually, the problem right now is there are fake vaccines in China.
Fake?
Vaccines. Like pharmaceutical.
Vaccines, yes.
You know, even the pharmaceutical company can be producing fake vaccines. And that is, you know, quite typical in a way that Chinese people cannot trust. Okay, you know, do not have that kind of trust in anything you tell them. So, you know, we say, oh, this is what we're selling. We are very honest. We put it on our website. We put it online. Okay, you think, okay, I'm very honest. But Chinese people do not trust you. So, and they have their own way. They form their own system.
So what is their system of beginning to...
Social media. They talk to people, reviews and things like that. And they, you know, and that's why they ask a lot of questions. You know, it's quite different even in the booking stage as what we're used to be. Because they don't trust you. So, you know, you put that picture out. They say, oh, is it really your hotel? Okay, is it really true that you are located there? Even that. Okay, you know, are you really on the beach? Are you really that close? You know, that is a trust factor. And that is something, you know, company has to understand why, you know, like not online and offline and everything, why it's so integrated is because they do not trust you. So, you know, they have to talk to you. They have to see you as a person. They have to know you're real, because you can tell me, you know, pay. And then, you know, I arrived there, the hotel, you know, they can assume it will disappear if they have not heard about you.
So it's a real dilemma for an independent hotel operator.
Yes.
Who doesn't speak Mandarin.
Yes.
I mean, and doesn't know all these channels you're talking about. How do they monitor their kind of social feedback and reputation? Are they doing an effective job of that, or they just have no idea how they're appearing in the Chinese internet sphere.
Right now, I don't think most independent hotels have, you know, a good understanding. And sometimes it's not that you need a Chinese staff to make things happen. But right now, you know, I'm not doing too much advertising about my company. But a lot of times right now, what we see is most of the hotels, especially independent hotels, do not even have the basic online presence in China. They think they are there, but no one can see them. Okay.
But my site can be translated into Mandarin. I'm good, right?
No, you're not. No, you're not. That's one thing I'm going to talk about. You know, language is one thing, but you heard about the Great Firewall of China. So
right.
If you are not locally hosted in China, the speed will be very slow. If you do not pass the censorship, again, the speed will be very, very, very slow. There are so many things. You know, for example, you think, oh, my website is built based on Google guidelines, right? Most of the Western websites are built upon Google guidelines to maximize the search result in Google.
Sure.
But it's not only Google is blocked in China, but even some Google tools that you may not know that appear on your website can be blocked in China. So your you know, like just a translated website is definitely not good enough to have even the basic presence in China. And website comes in the later stage because social media first. So how are you exposing yourself in Weibo? How are you exposing yourself in WeChat? What do people talk about you? What do they like about you, not like about you? How do you manage those? You know, those are the important part before you even come to your website. So those are the things that needs to be managed.
So I want to come back and talk about some of the cool destinations that Chinese travelers are headed to.
Yep.
Around the world. But before we do that, just talk some about the need to kind of get local with these channels and do local marketing and have local approaches. Is that a relatively inexpensive endeavor? I mean, people generally think of China as the place where, you know, you buy the knockoff T-shirts and everything's cheap there.
Yeah,
so,
okay,
I can go and hire some people for really cheap and do my marketing and advertising in this market for a small budget.
It's a major, major misconception. Major. Okay, if you ask any agency, actually doing China online marketing is the most expensive as compared to any other market. And they have done some benchmark survey that at least 50 to 80% more than you know, like Western online marketing.
And is that because it's so competitive, or is that because the marketers are more effective, so people are more willing to spend the money?
No.
It's just that it's more competitive.
It's more competitive and more people putting in more money just to get the presence. So, you know, it's a very crowded space. And a lot of companies are willing to dash in huge cash in order to have the presence. So I would conclude they are pretty spoiled, but that is the way. And if, you know, we look at the one of the key area for marketing is we call influencers marketing, you know, what we call KOL, you know, key opinion leaders. They can cost you as much as $150,000 per post.
Wow.
Yep. So that's the reason why everyone wants to be a KOL. But that is, you know, that is on the far extreme, of course. But it's common to have KOL charging $50,000 per post is a common price tag. So imagine if a company wants to run a campaign, they do not hire one KOL.
$50,000 for a post. Now, wait.
Yep.
Is this somebody like my concept, and maybe a lot of the listeners, since this is a podcast in English,
right.
I mean, my concept of a KOL is some Instagrammer who travels around the world, takes some photos of themselves, and maybe they have 1 million followers. Is this the kind of person that in China is getting $50,000 for a post?
Yeah, similar.
Wow.
They have like, you know, five different level of KOLs. You know, the TV, you know, like the movie stars and everything, you know, they are in the KOL business in China. So they are charging way high. And then, you know, level two, level three, 50,000, you know, if you have a lot of followers, if you are in a niche market, for example, you know, probably you heard about Volkswagen selling, you know, 10 cars within, you know, like 15 minutes on WeChat kind of campaign. So they, yeah.
What's the story? How did they sell 10 cars in 15 minutes?
They are doing campaigns. So, you know, it's a Blue Beetle, I believe. You know, it's not new, but, you know, it's like 2 years back. And they use a KOL to promote that. So that KOL would take, you know, like she has a lot of followers. So she take photos and saying, oh, I'm going to, you is exclusive. I'm going to be able to sell, you know, 10 limited edition Blue Beetle on this day, you know, keep tuned, you know, stay tuned and everything. So when the day come, in about 10 to 15 minutes, it's sold.
Sold.
So that's the power of KOL, because people believe, you know, that's the trust issue that I mentioned earlier. People trust her. So she's like endorsing the product and people buy because of her. So it's a really, really interesting market. And in China, nothing is cheap when you go to China online marketing. And I wrote an article about that too, you know, and saying...
I will put that in the show notes. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I wrote about, you know, misconception about the China market because hotels tell me the same. Hotel told me, oh, everything is made in China, so it must be cheap. Okay, so that's the perception about China. And you know, some people told me that's 1.3 billion Chinese. So, you know, you just send me, you know, 0.0000001% of guests, I'll be happy.
Right.
Yeah, but how to find them? It's super expensive to find that niche. So, and imagine if you have 1.3 billion, even if it costs you 1 cent, to market to each of them, you'll be broke by the end of the day, right? So the huge population doesn't really help when you do marketing. And, you know, and that's the way that I put it.
So how do independent hotels or even big brands, where do they focus? Are if you, I mean, do I focus on C-Trip or Fliggy? Or do I focus on WeChat? I mean,
right.
As a place to get started, like where would they start? Would it be, you mentioned social, you should just right. start on social first. Don't worry about the OTAs.
No. Actually, if you want booking, definitely you need to work with the OTAs. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the norm, 91%, they will shop on OTA site.
Are there better channels for the luxury properties than others? Is C-Trip better than Fliggy?
I would not say better, but I think exposure is different. Okay, there are different OTAs targeting different tiers of the market. So, you know, there are some doing better in the primary cities. There are some doing better in the secondary and third cities. And if you really drill down to the demographics, some are targeting older people, some are targeting younger people, you know, and education otherwise. So different channel, they kind of see their own positioning and do their own thing. And in one of the slides that I'm going to disclose tomorrow, actually C-Trip would not like it, but that's a company called Meituan.
Okay. Yes, coming up. Yep. They're red hot in the media anyway. Everyone's okay. covering their story.
Oh, okay. They were just like a Groupon type of company, you know, 3-4 years ago. And they are covering the major third or fourth tier cities. Okay. But then they do some transformation because Groupon concept doesn't work anymore. So they purchase Damping, which is a review restaurant review site and things like that, and combine... as I say, it's going to be on one of my slides tomorrow. Meituan actually tops C-Trip in hotel booking in March 2018.
Wow.
So, you know, to me, it's anything is possible in China. While we all think C-Trip is so dominant, there is some up and rising company that supposed to be selling restaurant coupon can suddenly transform into a company to top hotel bookings.
Meituan.
Danping.
Danping. Yeah. I wonder how many independent luxury hotel operators around the world
would know the name
yeah. Meituan Danping.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, the different area to watch and to work with. And like 3G, a lot of hotels cannot work with them directly. They need to have some kind of Chinese representation in order to work with them. So, but my recommendation is definitely if you want booking, then you want to work with the OTAs, okay? You want to work with the OTAs. But how will them, you know, how will the Chinese, when they shop on the OTA, pick your hotel and not the hotel next door?
Right.
That's when you need to invest in your own social.
Yeah,
social medias and things and have the presence that when people want to look up for more information, they can find you.
I'm really looking forward to your session tomorrow.
Thank you.
And I know the GMs are going to benefit big time from
your
insights. Let's close out the last few minutes of our conversation today just talking about some of the destinations that Chinese travelers go to. So we talked about this idea of the markets maturing and how you go from, you know, tour buses to more independent travel. And Graham Brown also mentioned this trend of, you know, the first place you go is usually a country that's kind of like one over, you know, from where you are. So for the Chinese, that's Taiwan or Hong Kong or now Thailand.
Yeah.
And then the circle kind of starts to grow, you know, and you want to go further and be more adventurous. So talk to me some about the destinations that are exciting Chinese travelers today.
Okay. If you want the exotic list, definitely they will go to Lapland, you know, like, you know, to watch the Northern Light. And even to the Arctic, you know, North Pole, South Pole, if you really want to, you know, get those kind of destination. And I just read about another article that a super billionaire just have a 10-day trip in Lamborghini in Lapland.
That's great.
Yep. But that's the way, you know, if you have money, you want to travel, that's the way they do it. So that is kind of the trend. And again, I'm going to talk a little bit more tomorrow. They want local experiences. So even if they pick the same destination, okay, even they say, okay, we do not have enough vacation days, and they just go on the weekend, long weekend, and say, you know, I'm coming back to Bangkok. Don't expect them to go to the same place. You know, they may go to a Thai cooking class, okay, they may want to learn something different. Okay, education is big. Sports tourism is big. Many of them go to watch the World Cup, and then China is not even on the list, but they still go because they want to get involved with the sports. So, you know, those are the trends. And then there's a new trend called flower tourism. So if you have beautiful flowers, you know, during different time of the year, people just go and take photos because of beautiful flowers. So those are the trends upcoming for the Chinese FIT.
I don't remember the number, but I saw something around the World Cup that said like 80% of the people that flew to Russia for the World Cup were from China.
Yeah.
And that's just astounding if it's true. I have
no
idea.
Some do not even have tickets
for the World Cup. Yeah, they just flew there anyway.
Yeah, they just flew them, you know, want to feel the atmosphere, want to be there. So that's amazing, eh?
I don't know if that's true, by the way, but if it is, it's astounding. And,
yeah.
And I'm a very active sports person. I love to do any kind of outdoor sports. And one of the things I do and do here in Thailand is skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing to me that if you went to the skydive drop zone here in Thailand, there's one in a small city. It would take 3 hours to drive to from here, called Free Fall Thailand.
Uh-huh.
Another one in Sriracha called Thai Sky. But if you went to either one of these two drop zones on any given day, and I've been to both of them, 90% of the customers there are millennial or younger Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Who I guess are coming to do what you said. They want that once in a lifetime experience that they can talk about.
Yep, exactly.
And it is a machine. It's like they are there every day. You know, another 50, another 100
right.
Are coming for this once in a lifetime special experience. And no doubt, if you're in this market or anywhere in Southeast Asia, you're definitely, it's not a trend that people are talking about. You feel it and see it every single day.
Yeah.
So that's it for the questions I have for you. Anything else you want to say in closing?
You know, you asked me for one slide or one tagline, for your conference.
Right.
And what I pick is the China that you can understand is not the real China. So, you know,
what does that mean?
That means, you know, actually, that is my experience. The more you think you know about China, the more you know you don't know.
This is a great statement, actually. So let me think through that again. The China that you can understand
is not the real China.
It's not the real China.
Yep.
I mean, one annoying thing to me that I was posting about with another speaker named Saxon, who's uh-huh. flying in tonight, I think.
Right.
He'll be speaking at the conference tomorrow, too.
Yep.
But I was talking to him in a social media post back and forth in public around, you know, there's a lot of people now who claim to be China experts.
Yep.
And it's such a ridiculous statement to me now. It might not have been if I heard it 5 years ago. I might have thought, wow, China expert, I should go talk to them. But it would sound bizarre if I said it, if somebody told me they were a U.S. expert. That would sound bizarre. I would know that's completely wrong as soon as it was said. But for some reason, a lot of Westerners, you know, gravitate towards this. Wow, you're a China expert. And I also noticed that the majority of people who use the tagline China expert are people who have, you know, recently moved to China, or maybe even they spent 5 to 10 years in China, and now they have declared themselves China expert. But I've I don't know of any person who grew up in China, spent their, you know, they are Chinese by birth,
right?
Who's out there marketing themselves as, hey, I'm a China expert.
Yeah.
And so I find it so strange that the only people who market themselves as China experts are people who are not Chinese,
right? I know. But actually, I think I comment on that social media thread as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. And I put in, I say, you know, sometimes we market ourselves as China expert, but in the context of what we're doing. Huh. And the reason being, you know, it's another side joke, is you would not ask any Caucasians sitting in the lobby in China and ask them, oh, what do you think about Google? You know, what do you think about Facebook? Like, you would not ask them for opinion, right? But strangely enough, overseas hotels can find a Chinese sitting in the lobby and ask them, oh, what do you think about my Chinese website? What do you, you know, how does it appear in Baidu? You know, what do you think about my whiteboard account? You know, to me is, why do you think he knows everything about China? Because he's Chinese.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, we have to position ourselves with that tag because we want hotel to know we know what we're doing.
Right, right.
Okay. But really, honestly, and the reason why I want to use that tagline is if you are really in that market, okay, you really know what you don't know. It's really a complicated market. No one can be claimed China expert. No one can know enough. And if you think you know enough today, tomorrow is going to change.
Yeah, really rapidly changing market.
So, and I want the hotels to have an open mind, because I know some hotels are experienced. They may have lived in China years ago, and they may know about the China market. They may have some perception about China. But I want them to know, if they really think they understand China, you know, think twice. The China that can be understand is not the real China. And that will be my tagline for tomorrow.
Great. Anita, thank you so much. It's been a great conversation today.
Thank
I can't
you,
wait
Brett.
For your session tomorrow. Looking
thank
forward
you.
To it.
Thank you. Thanks, Brett.
Hospitality, aviation, cruise, tech, and people. You've been listening to the TD Podcast. Discussion, analysis, and actionable insights from the travel industry's top executives.